2017. Is that right, Joe? He said earlier it was. I'm still trying to get over 19 and I do every once in a while try to write 19, and then I think, oh no, it's way past that. We heard yesterday on something that Sears and Roebuck's about to fold up, go out of business, go, they broke. I told Betty this morning, I said, you know, it's a good thing we were born when we were. Wouldn't have no Sears and Roebuck and J.C. Penney, we wouldn't have made it. Yeah. That may have been our worst one. I say worse, if we had to go down there and get us a little credit, you know, and then it'd be tough to pay it off. Our God is an orderly God, very orderly. He set everything in order and give a pattern for everything. Sometimes we want to leave the pattern back in the Old Testament, but we still have the pattern. Same pattern. Wasn't any different. Turn with me to Leviticus, the 16th chapter this morning for a few thoughts here. He gave them the pattern for the tabernacle. We had a tent. We don't know much about it before, but then we had a tabernacle. When he told them how to build it, he gave them certain specifications. There was to be a holy place and then a holy, most holy place. And then the camp outside, they were to camp about it, and the Levites closest and circles on out of the other tribes. So everything was in order. That's what we call circling the wagons. They were circled around this tabernacle, and the tabernacle was the center of all things to them, or should have been. They were always looking to the tabernacle. If the cloud moved, they gathered up the tabernacle and they went. But it was always the center of their activity. Everything was done in order. That is always so. Our God, we mentioned before, is a consuming fire, and if that order isn't kept, then there's certain consequences for it. And the people that were to minister, the Levite tribe of Levi, or beginning with Moses and Aaron, if they were to go into the tabernacle, had to go in a certain manner. Had to be exactly according to the pattern. See, keep it. Exactly according to the pattern. First verse of the 16th chapter of Leviticus said, and the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. Well, first rattle out of the box, we got a little thing here. Out of order. No order. They hadn't done it the way the Lord had established it to be done. And we live in a day when we're taught, over and over, come as you are. Come any way you want to. It's not so. Our God is still a consuming fire, and he set forth a pattern of our worship even today. It wasn't any different. It's not any different than it was then. Now, it's a little different in this respect. He gave Moses exact definition of everything it was to be done. The offering up of the sacrifices, the setting of the tabernacle itself, the laver and then the altar and so on and so forth. They're exact pattern. He told him exactly how to set it up. We read over in the New Testament that we have a more sure word of prophecy. Well, I believe that sometime we want to cut it off in the New Testament era and say, well, that began then. But no, our more sure word of prophecy was added to what we knew from the Old Testament also. The pattern that was set, or the manner in which we ought to worship God. He's a holy God, so we must come in before him in holiness, in righteousness. Offering a perfect sacrifice. Outside of that, we can't come in. We come boldly before the throne of grace, but we must come in the proper manner with a broken and a contrite spirit. And even in our boldness, but it must be orderly. Now, back in the 10th chapter, we'll read about this thing that happened. It seems like this 16th chapter ought to be set right after this 10th. But listen, the whole book of Leviticus is that way. It's set a little here and a little bit there and a little over there. If you don't read the whole thing, you don't get the whole picture. Because it's kind of jumped back and forth. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer. Now his problem already, which right here. Just one priest is going to go with him. Now they're going two of them. They're going to pair up on the Lord. Well, that's hand in hand. Well, you know, the more we get this prayer group going, and the more we join together, the better. But no, priest, the priest was to enter in. He said, took either of them his censer and put fire in therein and put incense thereon. That sounds like they're doing exactly right, doesn't it? And offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not to do. Well, the order of things was they were to go in and take the fire off of the altar first place and put it in there, and then have the proper incense to go in. It's like the ointment. It's got to be of apothecary kind. It's got to be made perfect. Because it is a pattern of things to come. The perfection. That's the whole thing, the perfection of it. And if they didn't see the whole perfection of it, then they hadn't seen the end of it, which is Jesus Christ. Well, it was a strange fire. The Lord didn't recognize it because it wasn't right. We could kind of go to our day, the preaching, what they call preaching today, they leave off so much that it started here. If you will, that's kind of the way it starts. Well, we'll just give in to this. And after all, it always is born one of another, and it increases each time by doubling. So it gets worse and worse and worse, the increase of it. So It must be exactly according to the pattern. And there went out fire from the Lord. He wasn't too happy with this thing they had committed. First two of them went in, then they went in with the wrong thing. Can you imagine these old priests nowadays going in and offering up a little holy smoke like they're doing? If the Lord wasn't long-suffering, if we weren't in a new age, He'd strike them with the lightning. And things, listen, here's the whole thing. Things have not changed, really. Because it isn't swift to bring the judgment, people think that there is no judgment. In their own mind, they begin to believe that there isn't any judgment. But the fire was from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, "This is it that the Lord spake." Well, Aaron's sons, he's taken them. But he's justified. That's what Moses tells him. The Lord was justified in taking them because they had done wrong. It's what the Lord spake, saying, "I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified." And Aaron held his peace. What do you think? He probably had a big, bad sadness in his heart. But he said in his heart also, "Will the Lord of all the earth not do right?" Kind of reminds you of Job, only it's a little different situation, but be content. We mentioned that the other day. Be content with what you have. Be content with what the Lord gives. Be content in that Lord will do what is right. Back over in the 16th chapter, second verse, and it said, "And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place." I said that he gave them specific instructions about how to do this. They weren't to come in there all the time as if it was common thing. Just in and out, like a bunch of kids running in and out the door at the house, you know. They close the door. That's the kind of way it is here. This wasn't going to be any common thing. Listen, the Day of Atonement isn't any common thing. It is superior to all things. That he come not at all times into the holy place. And now he's going to give a specific place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is up on the ark, that he die not. Well, you better not take the Lord for granted. You better not just try to come in any kind of clothing. It must be a clean clothing. Without a bunch of ornaments, too, by the way, we'll see that in a minute. Why is he not, what's going to happen to him? God is a consuming fire. That's what he's going to do, just like he done to his sons. If you don't do it like this is it. You got to come in to the mercy seat in a certain way, and I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. He's still going to be covered in the cloud. But he's still got to offer up incense. Besides that, which is another cloud, really, the vapor from it. All this is also a pattern of the condition that the people were in. They were separated from God, first by the holy place and then by the veil. Couldn't come in. If they did, if they dared to do that, it was sure death. And I still say again, things have not changed. If a man dare to come into the sheepfold any other way, it's death. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen. Now listen to this clothing now. He wasn't going to have any ephod. He wasn't going to have any breastplate. He wasn't going to have any of those things. It was going to be a simple linen garment. Nothing more. Nothing more that it might not take away from the offering. We're talking about the Day of Atonement here. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and he shall be girded with a linen girdle and a linen mitre. Shall he be attired? These are holy garments. Therefore, because they're holy garments, because they're what he's fixing to wear in there, and because he's going in, therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. This is a certain day of humbleness and repentance and praying unto the Lord. For what? Atonement. Because they understand their sins in this pattern. Must be clean. You can't enter in unclean. You got to be clean. And he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats for a sin offering and one ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which it is for himself, and make an atonement for himself. You understand, everything before God is defiled because of man. Not because of the thing, but because of man himself. So everything must be clean. And he shall take two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots. And it's not lots like people think of today. This isn't any lottery section here. If I understand it right, there were just two rocks in that jar. And the priest goes in there and gets one in the right hand and one in the left hand. But it's just one. It's going to be an indicator of one sacrifice. They're still united. But it is of the Lord's choosing. That's the whole point here. It is of the Lord's choosing. This is the one that's going to be sacrificed. He's set aside for that service by the Lord himself. And Aaron shall bring, and Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord, and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring a goat upon which the Lord's lot fell, and offer him for a sin offering. Over in the 23rd chapter, I think we see a little more of this on the Day of Atonement. There must be an atoning for, that's the whole thing, for the sins of the people. And I guess in about verse 22 said, and when ye reap harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of the field when thou reapest, neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. So we even in the harvest, we got certain things we got to do. And to the stranger, and I am the Lord your God. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing and trumpets and holy convocation. I've mentioned on many times that we ought to call a solemn assembly. That's what this convocation is. It's a day of solemnity. It's set aside for the Lord. This is the Lord's. This is the same order I'm talking about. Everything must be done orderly in a certain manner. And it's a memorial of blowing of trumpets and holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, also on the tenth day of the seventh month there shall be a day of atonement. Now this is that certain day that he's talking about, that Aaron could enter into the most holy place. He not just go in and out. It's a set aside as a certain day. The Lord was crucified on a certain day that must be fulfilled. Also on the tenth day of this seventh month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation. We're not going to do anything that day toward the flesh. It's all going to be unto the Lord. And ye shall afflict your soul. That's what I said. Sackcloth and ashes. In repentance. With a contrite heart. That's what he's talking about. And ye shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And ye shall do no work in that same day. For it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. You are defiled, and everything about you is defiled. So there must be an atonement made outside of what you can offer. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy from among his people. Ye shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. This is a memorial. Why? What? Why a memorial? You ever think about that? Why a memorial? Because it was all accomplished before the foundation of the world, and it's set aside as a memorial unto the work of the Lord that he has done in eternity. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and ye shall afflict your soul. In the ninth day of the ninth of the month, at even, from even unto evening, shall ye celebrate your Sabbath. It be all day long. in a certain order. Must be done in order. Everything must be done decently. We're told that in the New Testament also. Must be done decently and in order.
We hear in our day such things as, well, we just have great liberty. We don't have a building that's called a tabernacle with a holy place and a most holy place as such. We don't have all the sacrifices that they had, the bullocks and the goats and the sheep and the rams and the turtle doves and the pigeons and so forth, according to whatever occasion it was. But we do have some ordinances. We do have, for instance, the Lord's Supper. And there are many today that defile the Lord's Supper. They do it. They say, oh, well, it doesn't matter what elements you use. I've heard of those and read of those that use anything from Coca-Cola, hamburgers, stuff like that. But believe me, the Lord is not pleased with that. We have baptism, which many people have again defiled. First of all, by again the wrong elements, if you will. I believe nearly everybody that I know of uses some form of water, all right enough, but some of them make it holy water. I think JT can tell you a story about that when he was building or working on a, a Catholic church. But more importantly, they defile it by teaching that you can wash your sins away with a little bit of water. And of course, most of them deny the very essence of baptism in that they never bury. You cannot bury someone in a handful of water, right? And that is the essence, that's the first essence of baptism, is that the sins are buried and that your old life is buried with those sins. And then you are resurrected unto a new life. And you can't be very well resurrected out of a handful of water either. But anyway, it still pleases the Lord that we follow His commandments. Whatever they be, it still pleases God that we follow His commandments. Now, another interesting thing, and I'll go on, We read here, as JT just read a few moments ago, that you're to afflict your soul. And that is, JT is entirely correct, that does has to do with that holy convocation, that solemn assembly. Now, it wasn't a morbid assembly. It's not what he's talking about. Well, it says here it's a celebration, doesn't it? When he talks about afflicting your soul, it is the recognition of that you're coming before God. This is the as it has been said, the thrice holy God. Now again, that's for emphasis. I mean, how holy can you get than being holy? How much more holy can you be than holy? Well, but the emphasis is that you're coming before this holy God. And I don't believe you'll read anywhere in the Bible where anybody that came before God, whether it be godly people or ungodly people, that didn't have some reverence toward them. And we're going to be looking in a few minutes again at this man Cain. And some might say, well, he wasn't reverent before God. Well, not in the way that he should have been, all right enough. But I guarantee you this, he didn't argue with God, did he?
He didn't just ignore it. No.
Wasn't the right kind. It wasn't as in order. So, but all right. Good beginning today and a good beginning this year. Again, we're thankful to be here.